begin then with our cross-examination.
Good morning, Ms. Doherty. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you.
Ms. Doherty, you recall submitting a declaration in connection with this hearing, don't you?
Yes.
And I understand from reading your declaration that you spent 180 hours from August 2010 to February 10th, 2010, preparing for the originally scheduled March hearing date. Is that right?
Yes.
So that's over 4.5 weeks of full-time work, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, all devoted to preparation for the originally scheduled March hearing date?
I had various tasks that I listed in my deposition, but yes, that hour is correct.
And since the March hearing date was rescheduled to today, I would assume that you've spent some additional time beyond that 180 hours. Is that right?
Yes, I have.
How much more time have you spent?
I would estimate probably about, I haven't actually looked at the dates yet, but I would say about a week worth.
Another 40 hours?
Or a little less. I'd have to look at the days.
Can you give us a general breakdown of how you spent your time preparing?
Sure. In my declaration, I listed deposition time, time spent preparing for my deposition with counsel, reviewing documents after my deposition, and assisting with drafting the prosecution team's case in chief.
How many hours did you spend on depo preparation?
I believe I was there for about, I would say, 10 hours. We did a two-day prep.
And how many hours did you spend reviewing documents?
I don't have the delineation of the hours I spent on each thing in front of me.
That's okay. Just your best approximation.
I would say that I spent probably maybe 36 hours. I'm guessing. I really can't be sure without my breakdown.
That's okay. I'm just asking for your best approximation.
Okay.
And how about assisting with the prosecution team's case in chief? How much time did you spend there?
That was the majority of my time. So most of the time that I listed. So most of the 180 hours were spent doing that.
So the remaining 140 hours or so?
Yeah, although I did also, I listed that, that's correct.
What portions of the prosecution team's case in chief did you draft?
I worked on a lot of the information about isolated pool B, the stormwater permit, BMPs. Let's see, what else did I work on? I worked on some of the issues of the 401 water quality certification conditions. I worked on, it was hard to tell because many of them we worked on together. So I worked on a lot of them. I did a lot with the BMPs and the turbidity monitoring and the waters in the United States.
And in regards to that additional 40 hours that you spent after the hearing was rescheduled, how did you spend that time?
I spent it primarily working on my presentation. We had done some changes based on some additional documents that we'd had, and we wanted to tailor it a little bit more.
Now, I understand that over the course of this three-year project, the Confusion Hill Bypass Project, you only inspected that project on one occasion in January 2008. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And in regards to ISO Pool B, you never actually saw ISO Pool B with your own eyes while it was being used as part of this project, did you?
That is correct. I had wanted to go and see isolated Pool B. I was on site for about 5 hours. Unfortunately, I was with a fish and game warden, and unfortunately, there was so much hostility and argument about me being there that we couldn't get very far. At every BMP, it turned into a huge argument. The 5 hours were spent on very little of the project, unfortunately.
Okay. And so you don't know where ISO Pool B was located in relation to the project as a whole, do you?
I think I have a good understanding. I've seen it from the road, and I've seen many photographs.
Okay. But you recall giving a deposition in this case, don't you?
I do.
And at the time of your deposition, you testified that you did not know the location of ISO Pool B in relation to the project as a whole. Isn't that right?
The exact location? No, I haven't. I haven't walked it. I know the general location.
Okay. And you don't know either where ISO Pool B was located in relation to the live stream channel. Isn't that right?
I have not seen it with my own eyes. In reviewing the documents, it says it was about 70 feet from the live channel.
Okay. You're aware that that board staff worked with Caltrans in developing ISO Pool B as a best management practice, right?
Our staff worked on developing a sedimentation basin.
Okay. And you were not involved in that, were you?
I was not.
Okay. I'd like you to take a look at a slide that we're going to project here. I'll represent to you that this excerpt was taken from the application for the 401 certification for the project. And I would turn your attention to the language that's been bolded there. It says, it is proposed to utilize portions of the gravel bar for construction dewatering during the dry season. Temporary sedimentation basins would be located a minimum of 100 feet from the live stream channel. You see that?
Yes, I do.
That 100-foot requirement, that is not derived from any kind of board guideline, is it?
It was proposed by Caltrans.
Okay.
In order to get their 401 water quality certification.
You're aware that Dean Pratt, who was involved in the development of ISO Pool B, as a best management practice, testified that there was nothing special about that 100-foot requirement.
I believe that you did discuss that with him in his deposition. I was not at his deposition.
Are you aware that the gravel bar in the vicinity of the project did not extend 100 feet from the live stream channel?
I believe that Caltrans attorney Ardeen told me that at one point.
Now, had ISO Pool B been located 100 feet from the live stream channel, it would have no longer been on the gravel bar, would it?
I don't know.
But isn't that really a lose-lose situation, in that Caltrans either could have placed the ISO Pool B on the gravel bar as described in the application, or they could have placed at 100 feet, but they could not do both. Isn't that right?
First of all, Isolated Pool B is not a settlement basin, which was what was applied for. We can only rely on the information that we're given in 401 certifications, applications. That was what was proposed as a best management practice, to put a settlement basin 100 feet or further away from the live channel. The idea that we can't trust that what you apply for is going to be implemented during the project really concerns me. So I don't really even know how to answer this question. The idea that false information is included in an application and that's somehow an excuse for not complying with a permit, I'm a little confused.
Okay. You state in your declaration that ISO Pool B provided habitat for threatened amphibians, and that habitat was damaged through its use. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, when you testified at your deposition, you were asked whether there was any wildlife killed as part of this project, right?
Yes.
And you stated that there was not.
I said that I wasn't aware of any.
Okay.
I have since done a more further review of the biological monitoring reports that Caltrans submitted to us and found that there is, in the biological monitoring reports, discussion of wildlife being killed.
And where is that discussion?
There's two discussions. There's one in the URS report. Shall I read? It was prepared for the week of, let's see, make sure I get it right here, the week of August 29th. Let me make sure I get the right part here. There's a lot of discussion, actually, of discharging construction dewatering 15 feet from the live channel too, which is another violation that we didn't include in the complaint. Here there is, I think it's on the, oh, Okay. Actually, I think I'm going to start here. It does talk about frogs being in the isolated pool B on the August 29th URS biological monitoring report. But the one that talks about the wildlife death is located in the biological monitoring report completed in September 28th, 2006. And it says, the isolated pool B on the gravel bar of the blast zone was filled in by rock debris and gravels from the false work footing preparation, an extraction of bar gravels from the cofferdam holes in the bar itself, and two juvenile yellow-legged frogs were either killed or displaced in this process. The pool was completely filled in by the evening of September 28, 2006. Prior to its use as an unlined settling basin, it contained an isolated school of juvenile Sacramento pike minnow and up to six metamorphosing yellow-legged frog juveniles. Most recently, as it has been degraded over the last 3 to 5 weeks, it usually contained a remaining 2 to 3 frogs on a regular basis. I reported finding a dead juvenile pike minnow there in a previous report when it was used as a settlement basin.
Okay. But there's no indication in that report. Well, strike that. Are you aware that...
Oh, I'm sorry. Can I add something? I skipped a paragraph. So here, when I was previously reading, I said... I was talking about isolated pool B being filled with the rock debris and gravel. And in that same paragraph, it says two juvenile yellow-legged frogs were either killed or displaced in this process. So the wildlife death I was referring to were the pike minnow and perhaps the yellow-legged frog, which they didn't find the bodies, but they thought that deaths ensued there.
Are you aware that the use of isolated pool B was approved by the biological monitors?
Again, I'm not really sure about this question. I wasn't aware of that, but it's not the biological monitoring monitor's place to take the place of the water board and say that this pool is okay. I don't really understand.
Can you point to where in the complaint there's an allegation that there was a death to an animal?
I do not have the complaint in front of me. I'm not sure that is in the complaint.
Are you aware that there were multiple pools in the vicinity of the project?
I believe I read that in one report.
And are you aware of any notice from the Department of Fish and Game to Caltrans that isolated pool B provided habitat for threatened amphibians?
Yes. Karen Maurer, the warden, prepared a case to take to the district attorney in which she told me that the biology report talked about the threatened amphibians and the degradation of their habitat.
Where is that?
The DA decided not to, that it wasn't a priority for his office.
Is that documentation anywhere that you have it available?
I have actually never seen the document. It was held confidential.
And and how do you know that Ms. Maurer was referring to isolated pool B as opposed to many of the other pools that were on site?
Because she told me it was isolated pool B, and she told me that the discharges degraded the habitat. I hope that there were not discharges to additional pools.
No further questions at this time.
Would you like me to step down?
That's up to your attorney.
No questions for me.
Did either party have questions for Mr. Grady?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Would you like to take him next in order?
If I could remind everybody to please state your name and your affiliation when you speak. Thank you.
Ardeen Zazaron, attorney for the Department of Transportation. Mr. Grady?
Kason Grady, engineer for the Water Board.
Mr. Grady, are you aware that of the remaining disputed charges in this case? 95 depend on the biological monitoring reports or photographs. Are you aware of that?
I'm aware of a large amount of them depend and rely significantly upon the biological monitoring reports. I have not counted which ones rely specifically and solely upon them.
You prepared the ACL approximately 3 years after construction was complete. Is that correct?
No.
Let me put it this way. The ACL was issued about 3 years after construction was completed.
No.
Okay. How many years was that?
Well, I believe construction was actually completed perhaps the same year as the ACL was issued.
Okay.
Or even after.
You're correct. I meant to ask you, it's the ACL issued approximately 3 years after the bulk of violations occurred. Is that correct?
Sure. Okay. Yes.
Now, prior to issuing the ACL, you had spoken with Carl Page. He was one of the biological monitors.
Yes, I've spoken with Carl Page.
You spoke to him prior to issuing the ACL about the type of camera he used, and you also got some notes from him that you sent back. Is that right?
Yes.
You did not share with him the proposed charges and verify or seek his input into them. Is that correct?
No.
You did not. Okay. And you did not speak to Mr. Norman. He was the other biological monitor. Is that correct?
I believe I did speak with him briefly.
Did you verify with him or seek input from him about the charges?
Well, what I spoke to them primarily about, as I recall, was some of the reports that I was reviewing in front of me that I had received from Caltrans. Through our 13267 order that we requested because we had not previously received them from Caltrans. And they contained a lot of violations in these reports that had previously not been identified to the Water Board staff. And so I needed to corroborate some of his reports and also the dates of the photographs. So When talking to him, I confirmed what kind of I forget now what kind of camera, but he said a digital camera. He used a digital camera, and that he set the date stamp on the set the date on the camera, and he told me that I could confirm that by looking at the reports that he had written and confirming the date stamp on the photos with the reports.
Did you go over all the charges of the ACL with the biological monitors?
No.
Did you ask them, let's say, you know, for a picture? We talked about the picture earlier that you showed that had oil on the trestle deck. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
There's many photos of oil on the trestle deck.
This was regarding charges 109 and 110. This is just for an example. Let's say, you know, you have a charge, you've got it drafted in the ACL, you're about to finalize this thing, that you go to the biological monitors and say, hey, I see you've got in your report, there's a sentence here. I'm interpreting it to mean that this was a violation. Do you agree with me? Did you do that?
I did not. I did not. I took the reports and the photos for face value.
And for photos that are supporting charges by themselves. let's say, a photo of a piece of wood in the water. Did you ask the biological monitors, for example, hey, I see this picture of wood. It's in the river here. Why did you take this picture? What is this supposed to be? Did you talk to them about those sort of specifics?
I may have. I don't recall. It's been quite a long time.
Okay, so you haven't talked to the biological monitors for how long?
Well, the ACL was issued in 2009, and as I recall, I don't think I think the last time I'd spoken with them was before the issuance of the complaint.
Okay. So for a charge, let's say, where you've got some kind of substance that's on the surface, like charges 109, 110, which shows this black, streaky stuff apparently on the ground there, did you ask the biological monitors, for instance, hey, there's this picture of this stuff. Was it cleaned up by the end of the day? Was it cleaned up the next day or the day after that? That you didn't ask things like that?
I think so. I think in general I did ask them some questions, but I'm reluctant to talk about the details of our conversation because I just can't recall.
All right.
I didn't write down and I didn't approach my discussions with him as an interview that I was going to rely upon for evidence purposes.
Then again, you did not run through the charges of the ACL with the biological monitors before issuance?
No, I didn't have them. I didn't have all the charges identified. I did go over some of the evidence with them that we had used to support the allegations, and based on my discussions with them and my inquiries about the photos, what they contained. I remember I asked them questions about the photos, but I can't say, for that specific one, did I confirm that the wood was from the project? I don't specifically recall, but I do recall that the result of my conversations with them was that the information, both the photographs and the reports that they'd produced were reliable, and reliable summations of their experience on the project, especially the fact that they took the photos of project activities, and that their general comments, in many instances, the reports expressed general comments. Talking about constantly leaky equipment and debris across this trestle deck and the potential for things to discharge. I confirmed through those discussions that they observed those things.
Mr. Grady, do you remember having your deposition taken in the fall of 2010?
Yes, I do.
Do you recall taking an oath to tell the truth at that deposition?
I do.
Okay. Do you recall being asked about conversations you'd had with Mr. Page?
I do.
And you recall that you talked to him less than five times. You recall that?
Yes.
And you'd only had one person, in-person meeting with him?
Yes.
Okay. And he was in the office because he was actually involved in another project, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and you also testified that you did not believe you'd ever spoken to Mr. Norman about the project.
At the time, I believe that I don't have my deposition from me, but I trust you that I said that, as I probably couldn't recall at the time.
I'd be happy to share it with you if you'd like to see it to refresh your memory.
If you would like.
Okay. Page 445, lines 1 through 5. Line 1 through 3. Question, Mr. Norman, did you meet or did you speak with him with respect to Confusion Hill at any time? Answer by Mr. Grady. Maybe, but I don't think so.
That's exactly what it reads, and I trust that that's a correct representation, and I believe that it says maybe, but I don't think so. Just like I just said, at the time, I had a hunch that perhaps I had, and at the time, I didn't think so. But since then, I had the opportunity to review some of my my phone logs and realized that, oh, yeah, it says right here I spoke to Bradford Norman and, you know, minor details about the conversation.
So are you changing your testimony then that you gave at deposition?
No, I'm not. I said maybe.
They've already asked the questions about this. I appreciate it if counsel wouldn't badger the witness.
Trying to seek what the accurate testimony is, but I'll move on. Mr. Grady, you just testified about the reliability that you found with respect to the biological monitoring reports.
Yes.
You found them. Why did you find them reliable?
Based upon the photographic evidence and the observations expressed by a professional hired perhaps through a subcontractor of Caltrans, but hired to be on the project. And I also felt that they were quite reliable because the evidence and the documents that the biological monitors presented to us was, yes, we relied heavily upon them for a lot of our violations because they represented information that Caltrans should have reported to us, that they should have given freely to us from the beginning, but instead we had to get this information through issuance of a 13267 order, and in part, which was due to a fish and game warden
coming into
our office and providing this documentation to us. And so the fact that they gave us and provided to us information that should have been provided to us from another state agency showed to me that with the photographs and the observations by a professional who provided the and then we got the information, I thought that was quite reliable.
The biological monitor report, biological monitors, they had copies of the 401 certification on the job, correct?
They referred at times to an environmental red book, which I believe contained copies of all of the permits.
And as far as you're aware, they were cognizant of the 401 certification conditions?
Yes, I believe so.
How many violations did the biological monitors report to the Water Board?
It was not their responsibility to report violations to the Water Board. They were, hired through Caltrans and URS as required by the National Marine Fisheries Service and their permit.
So is your answer that they reported no violations? Are you saying that they had no, let me ask you a different question. Are you saying they had no authority to report violations to the Water Board?
I'm going to object on the basis of the use report. If you're talking about the legal obligation to report, I think his answer is that it's not the biological monitor's duty to do so. If you're talking about how many violations were in their reports, that's a different question.
I guess we both need some clarification on your question.
I think we understand that the biological monitor describes conditions, and you receive those reports and interpret those conditions, if that's where we're going with this.
Actually, I wanted to ask the witness a question, if the biological monitor ever relayed to the Water Board that violations had occurred.
Not that I'm aware of directly.
And how many reports did the biological monitors use the term violation?
I don't know. I recall that they did, but I couldn't tell you how many.
You recall they did?
Yeah, I believe. I think so. But it's not a. I'm not saying yes. That yes, they did on this date. I'm saying it sounds plausible.
Is it accurate to say you reviewed biological monitoring reports that may have described certain conditions and you interpreted them to be violations? Is that accurate to say?
Yes.
All right. Okay. So here we have on the screen there, there's a charge regarding, it's called leaky equipment. That was in the category of leaky equipment. Do you recall this particular charge, ID 134 and 135?
Yes.
Okay. Where is this road located?
I believe it's right next to the RE office on site, resident engineer's office.
Is that close to the river?
Yes.
How about approximately what distance?
A few hundred yards.
Would you say this is above the 100-year floodplain?
Yes.
Okay. Now, this road, can anyone drive on it?
I think so.
There's no gate with a security guard that limits who can come in, correct?
Not as I recall. I don't believe so.
You don't know where this oil stain came from, or alleged oil stain came from, correct?
No.
This charge is based only on this photo. Is that accurate?
No.
It's based on something else?
The charge for 134 and 135 have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 photos.
Okay. This charge in particular, this photo in particular, you don't know that that's oil depicted on there. Is that correct? Who told you that was oil?
I believed that it showed oil stains on the road and the possibility of the use of leaky equipment on the project.
Okay. You don't know of any fact that that is actually oil?
No, I don't.
You don't know any fact that that substance came from a vehicle even connected with the project, correct?
No, and in fact, since these points were raised by Caltrans and MCM, you know, we've had an opportunity to go back and review the violations, and in many instances we have conceded violations and stated that they were assessed or alleged erroneously. And this, for this date that we're referring to, I think is it 134 and 135 violations? It's October 30th, 2006. It doesn't look like to me that we conceded that a violation of leaky equipment occurred on this day, because we weren't relying heavily upon this as the sole purpose of a violation. So if we ignore this photo, let's look at the substantive issue here of whether or not leaky equipment was used on the project and whether or not it actually had the potential to discharge pollutants to waters of the U.S. I think this is a distracting argument.
Okay. Nonetheless, this is a piece of evidence that the prosecution team is relying on, and I'm asking you, you have no actual knowledge that whatever that stain is depicted there came from a vehicle that was connected with construction. Is that correct? It could have come from a passenger vehicle driving, had nothing to do with the project, correct?
Yes.
There's a swimming hole at the end of this road that the members of the public come and use, right?
I don't know.
Sorry, we... Okay. Here's a photo, Mr. Grady, for charge number 68. And it has a companion there. It looks. What is are these chunks of something? Are those the basis for the charge?
In part, there are pieces of wood debris, photographs taken by the biological monitor on site.
These photos are the sole basis for this part of the charge. In other words, the biological monitor did not have any narrative describing these wood chunks, correct?
No. Not that I know of.
It is. So my statement was correct. Yes.
Yes.
There was no narrative. You agree with that?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. You have no. You know of no facts indicating that those wood chunks came from the project site, correct?
No.
You don't know?
I do not know 100% conclusively that those are project site wood chunks.
Okay.
They were not stamped with Caltrans Confusion Hill upon them.
They could have come from somewhere upstream, some kid throwing wood in the river. Is that correct?
They could have.
This charge is a large, this is ID number 136, large steel plate and cuttings in the river. What exactly are we looking at here? Do you want to use the laser pointer and show us?
There's a piece of metal in the middle of the photograph right
there. Is this what we're talking about?
Yes.
Okay, large, what does that mean? How do you quantify large?
Visible.
Visible.
Relative to welding sparks and slags that may be so small that it's not visible.
How long has this item been in the water by the time the photograph was taken?
I do not know.
Is there any actual facts stated in the biological monitor reports that this piece came from the project site?
I don't know. Was that the only piece of evidence relied upon for that day of violation?
I'm not here to answer the question, sorry. I'm only looking at the evidence. Okay. So this is a report that is the basis for a charge for, I believe, September 11th, 2006. Do you recognize this language?
Yes.
The basis of the charge is that it's their number 56 and 57, that the dewatering flows were discharged to surface waters. Is that the basis of the charge? Does that ring a bell?
I would like to look back at the violation IDs, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
Ms. Azron?
Yes.
May I ask how we can identify this piece in the record?
Well, it is...
Is it 50, yeah, this here, 56 and 57?
It's the charges 56 and 57.
Okay, but is it listed on prosecution team as evidence to support that?
Go ahead.
So is this document then listed on the prosecution team's list of evidence to support 56 and 57?
Yes. So have you had a chance to look at the charge?
Yes.
At your deposition, you testify that you did not know where the waters were actually discharged.
I believe that's correct.
With respect to your testimony about the stormwater permit and the containment of the trestle deck, I have a few questions with respect to that. First of all, I noticed in this slide that you showed earlier, let's see if I can make a specific reference. You referred to January 8th, I believe, is the date when I think the term was final BMPs were installed. Does that sound
yes.
accurate? Okay, so final BMPs, is it your testimony that there had been BMPs that had been implemented before the final BMP?
Yes. Okay. Well, let me correct and my statement, because when you say that BMPs were used prior to the final BMP, it was also part of my presentation that none of the management practices employed prior to the final BMP would have been considered a best management practice, because Caltrans has statewide BMP manual that's kind of the standard of practice throughout the state, and they didn't follow their own best management practice on many levels. And even if some management practices were employed, we have no evidence in the record that until that date, any of them would have even potentially been considered adequate as a whole.
In fact, a number of BMPs had been employed, whether they were adequate or not, in your opinion. But a number of BMPs had been employed before January of 2007. Correct?
Yes, a number of... is this specific to the trestle deck containment?
Yes.
I believe a number of management practices had been employed.
All right. Is it your contention that this Caltrans NS13 BMP requires that the entire trestle be watertight?
I don't see how you could have... The intent of the BMP, is, as it describes, says to prevent the discharge of spills and the containment of spills and to prevent other materials from leaving the barge. So I don't understand how, if you have some watertight tow boards and kickboards in one place, but holes and other things in other places, how that adequately satisfies the intent of the condition. I look at both the requirement for watertight kickboards and tow boards together with the intent of the BMP, which is to contain spills and prevent materials from leaving the barge.
Mr. Hearing Officer, I would request that the witness be instructed to answer the question. There's definitely time constraints involved. Some of my questions have been pretty simple, yes or no. I've given them some leeway, but I believe we're cutting into some time.
I respect your time request. We'll try to stay focused. I think some of the explanation is good, but maybe if we can just, we'll try to keep it brief. Thank you.
I'll
pay attention to that.
Mr. Grady of NS13 uses the term watertight, but not with respect to the entire structure. Is that correct?
I think it could be interpreted that way.
Okay, it actually uses the terms curbs and tow boards when it refers to watertight.
Correct.
That's the actual language. Do you agree with that?
It doesn't specifically describe whether the tow boards and kickboards shall apply to the entire trestle deck.
Okay.
If that answers your question?
I don't know, but I think we've...
I am trying to answer
yes,
your questions.
Yes, I know. I understand that. And any time you don't understand a question, please feel free to ask me to restate it. I'd be happy to do so.
I don't mean to interrupt, but for the record, this document is page 108 in the prosecution team's evidentiary binder.
Thank you, Ms. Macedo. Okay. Mr. Grady, are you familiar with a festival known as... Reggae Rising or Reggae on the River?
Yes.
That involves 14,000 individuals that attend that festival in the past?
I'll take your word for that.
Okay. You don't have to do that. Now, Reggae on the River is held on the South Fork of the Eel River about 6 miles north of Confusion Hill. Is that your understanding?
I don't exactly know where it is relative to Confusion Hill.
Well, more or less. Within a few miles, would you agree with
it's
that?
It's close, yes.
Near Piercy, correct?
Is that right?
Okay. Have you attended there, that festival at some point in the past?
Yes, I have.
All right. Cars are parked during that festival within feet of the river, correct? On the gravel bar.
When I was there, they were parked on the gravel bar.
There's no requirement that those vehicles have a barricade underneath them to prevent oil spills, right?
I'm unfamiliar with the permit for that project, for that festival.
When you were there, did you see any kiddie pools or plastic sheets that were under the cars?
No.
And people put tents in the river during this festival, correct?
I didn't see any tents in the active water course, but I did see tents within what would be considered waters of the U.S.
Are you aware that according to the board's records on this festival, that there have been serious concerns about pH levels in the water after the Reggae on the River festival?
I'm not familiar with that.
There have never been any enforcement proceedings regarding Reggae on the River that you're aware of.
I don't know.
Any turbidity measurements required at Reggae on the River?
I don't know.
Okay. And isn't it true that trash and debris is still at the riverbank area after Reggae on the River, days after Reggae on the River is over?
I don't know.
You've never gone to look at the site after the festival?
No.
So you're not aware of trash or oil stains that are left behind?
I'm going to object to this line of questioning. This is not part of Mr. Grady's direct testimony. It's not part of subject to cross-examination.
My understanding is cross-examination can be on any topic, even though it was not brought up in direct. That's according to the hearing notice.
Okay, and then I'll further respond with Mr. Grady's already testified he's unfamiliar with the permit, so any questions about the permit would lack foundation and call for speculation.
My questions aren't really specific to a permit. It's just the event itself, which Mr. Grady has attended in the past. However, good news, I'm done with that line of questioning. Mr. Hungerford?
Hi. What was that?
Sorry.